follow on from what I was talking and sharing with you last week is the reason that we are continuing in John chapter 14. But I will let you know now that I'm looking at some extracts from 14, and then we're going to dip into 15 and 16. All will become a bit clearer when I explain the subject matter, but you might be able to guess what that subject matter might be if you have a Bible with these extra little added headings. So, John chapter 14, reading from verse 15 through to the end of the chapter, actually. Please follow with me. I realised and thought that given the inspiration of last week's sermon, inspiration out of Beryl's funeral thoughts, that now would be a good opportunity, because I'm stuck with you, or you're stuck with me, for the next few weeks. Last week, this week, next week, and then I'm away for a week, and then another 3 weeks, which is leading us up towards, well, dare I say Easter, after our adult conversation a bit earlier, Easter or Passover, or you know what I mean. The celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. Let's give that reference. So these next few chapters, looking in John, will lead us up to that point. So I hope that you'll follow my reasoning and thinking. So John chapter 14, reading from verse 15, as I have it translated, reads like this. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I
has commanded me. Come now, let us leave.
I'm going to risk saying that maybe we started sounding like the pub singers' convention, but anyway, thank you for making your sounds in the song that is maybe a less familiar tune. I'm hoping that our last one is going to be more familiar to each of us. So, as I said, I kind of want to continue our thoughts on from last week, and we will keep going. And while I'm thinking of next week as well, just to let you know that we will have a family that will be joining with us. Probably most of you won't know who they are, they're going to join us for a child dedication. And I'm sure that you're going to give them a warm welcome. And maybe we'll have a pianist in tow as well next week. That's just to let you know of something else that will be happening. So of our scripture reading today, what do you think that I'm going to be talking about today? Any guesses? There is a little bit of a clue in the sermon title there, Going and Coming. What do you think I'm going to ramble on about today? What can you say to me that will be in words that everyone else will know? Okay, maybe. Not too far off. Anyone else with a guess? The Holy Spirit, thank you for putting me out of my misery. Thank you. It is the Holy Spirit indeed that I want us to touch on, because as Jesus talks in this discourse, and remember last week we picked up on the beginning of this chapter, let not your hearts be troubled, and so on. And what we did with that one was we had to look a little bit before, and we could learn and realize that they were troubled. They were unsure about what Jesus was talking about, trying to put everything in place. And Jesus continues his discourse throughout this chapter and the following couple of chapters. And we pick up then this theme of the Holy Spirit at the end of this chapter, chapter 14. So if any of you are note takers or anyone listening to the recording and wants to know what these five references over these chapters are, let me just quick fire them out, and then I will come back one by one. We'll look at them to see what it is that Jesus has to say about the Holy Spirit. What's it all about? So the first reference and the second reference are from chapter 14. So the first reference is verses 16 and 17. And then the second reference is verse 26. Third reference will be from chapter 15, verse 26. Am I going too fast for people in case anyone's writing? Fourth reference is chapter 16, verses 7 to 11. And then just verse or so later in chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. Right, it's got a little bit of the referencing out of the way. I will give an update as we go. So let's look then at what Jesus has to say about what he was talking about and his going and coming, and what difference it will make to the people then and to us now. So as we look at our first reference in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor." Does anyone have a different translation there, a different reference? Comforter, counselor. Anyone else? Another one beginning with A? Advocate. Okay, thank you. So what we get here is this idea of someone to follow on from Jesus. Are we okay with that so far? Am I going to have to work really hard today to keep you awake? Okay, I'll just keep moving and hopefully you'll keep up. So what we have is Jesus saying, there will be someone else to follow or something else. Let's leave it at that. But did you get the word before what I have translated as counselor? Another. Why do you think Jesus said, I'm going to send you another? He had been their counselor. Thank you, Steve, for going straight on and hitting the target, bang on. Because Jesus had been the one that had been with them. Jesus had been their advocate. Jesus had been their counselor, their comforter. Jesus had been their instructor up to this point. And with all their confusion, what Jesus had already said to them, Jesus is going and there will be someone else coming or something else coming. But what are the parameters? What are the things that need to be in place in order for the coming after Jesus going? Well, if we look in verses 15 and 21, we get one clue. Maybe some of you can be looking at those verses and try and shout out an answer for me, as well as looking back a little bit from our scripture reading, verses 13 and 14. So let's start with 13 and 14 first. Grab your Bibles. You're going to need to have your head in your Bibles on this one today. So verses 13 and 14, what do we have that gives us a clue as to what we need as believers to have in place in order to receive the Holy Spirit? What do you reckon? Faith. Okay. Their faith does come up, certainly in the verse 12. But what about verses 13 and 14? What are they talking about? Jesus in those words says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son will bring glory to the Father. Verse 14, you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. The word that I'm looking for isn't referenced there, but when we talk to God, asking God for things, what do we call that? Prayer. So in order for us to experience the Holy Spirit, what is it that Jesus is saying that we need? We need to have communication with God. We need to be in prayer, in prayer life with God, in order for us to receive the Holy Spirit. Prayer. The Holy Spirit is available to us when we have prayer. And my first reference was from verses 15 and verse 21. Anyone having a look at those ones already? What does verse 15 say? If you love me, you will obey or keep my commandments. And what does verse 21 say? I'm just making sure that you can read it for yourselves, not just believe it because I say it. Verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. So what's this word is used here, I know. What's the word I'm looking for? It's going to be a giveaway when I give you the first letter. It begins with O. Obedience. Anyone? Does your Bible talk about obedience? Okay, so one of the two things that Jesus is already referencing here that believers need to have in place in order to receive the Holy Spirit? Prayer. They need to be praying people and they need to be obedient. Okay, am I making this up? Are you reading it for yourselves? Okay, it's all there. Thank you, Steve. So Jesus is saying, I've got to go, but the Holy Spirit, this comforter, another, is coming in my place. Let me just dwell on that another. Not all of these references, the five, are going to take quite this long, I hope. But another. If you said, and this is an English kind of problem, and I know that some of you speak other languages, and you know that between languages we can't always get exact words that match, and sometimes we use a word that kind of means more than one thing in English. Although English has this stupidly huge, big vocabulary, it's a composite language. Sometimes in other languages we split the definitions a bit. So if I said, here is a chair, and I made this chair this week. You might think, no, you didn't. It's been up on the platform for years. No, I'm just saying, pretend. You know, let's say I made this chair this week. After all, I was trained as a furniture maker, so it shouldn't be too difficult if I had access to the right kind of equipment. But here we go. There's a chair that I have made. And then if I said, I have made another chair this week, here it is. Just put it over that side. Are these chairs the same? I was looking for an illustration that is the same, so I'm hoping that you're going to say, yes, by and large, these chairs are the same. Are they the same? Yeah, there's me leading you to say the answer. Whew. Okay, I'm hoping that these are similar enough that we're saying, I've made a chair and then I've made another one. And the other one is what? The same. Another can mean the same. But what if I said, I made this chair this week, and then, because I was on a roll, oops, it's going to fall out. There we go. Swap the illustration around. I made this chair this week, and then I made another. Is this chair the same? For the sake of anyone that's listening, I've pinched a different type of chair. So we've got two different types of chair here. I've made the first chair and then I've made another. Have I made another? Yes, I've made another chair, but it isn't exactly the same. Purpose is the same, yeah. But it's not the same design and so on. Illustrations have their flaws as well. But what I'm getting at is what we have a word for another. In the Greek, there are two words. The first word, I won't go into the Greek pronunciations and so on, but the first word is a distinction. One thing and another. Like this second illustration, there is a distinct difference between the chairs, although they have a similar sort of look and colour and so on, but they are different. Another can mean a different one, just another type. Or another can mean, like in our first illustration, similarity. Which another Greek word do you think Jesus used in this particular verse? Where he said, and I will ask the Father, verse 16, and he will give you another counselor. If you're going to guess, it's a 50-50, isn't it? What do you think? Yeah, just in case any of you are a bit nervous about trying to contradict the already proposed answer, the same is the right answer. Yes, so well done. That is what we get in the Greek. So what Jesus was saying is another, meaning the same as counselor. And if we're saying Jesus was a counselor, their advocate, their one, their instructor, Jesus is saying, although I'm going, you're going to get something identical. Are we together so far? So, the purpose then, in these particular verses that Jesus is talking about, of this coming Holy Spirit, this coming Comforter, is a permanent divine presence. Jesus is leaving, but the permanent divine presence is coming and taking Jesus' place. Are we okay together so far? Any disagreements? I don't mind disagreements, we just need to tidy it up. But as long as we're happy with that, then this is our first reference then, our first passage in Jesus' discourse through these chapters of John about the Holy Spirit. Another, an identical one. Let's keep moving. Just on that point though, obviously Jesus was a physical form of God, and what we were getting the promise of was a spiritual presence of God. On to the next reference. Still staying in John 14 and verse 26. So I'm only going in down to one verse here, but it says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." Right, the first reference, what was the purpose and task of the Holy Spirit? As a replacement of Jesus, okay, to be this divine presence of God with us. The second reference, what is Jesus saying is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? As a reminder. Someone not only who reminds, but what else does your Bible say that the Holy Spirit will do? Whom the Father will send in my name, who will what? Action word, teach. Will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. So the role and purpose of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is referencing in this verse is a teacher and a reminder. A teacher and a reminder of what? Of everything about Jesus. Now, it's good to think of a context here as well. Now, although John was writing down the words of Jesus that was said around about 35 AD, John actually wrote all of this out. There's some variation of thought and application, but somewhere between 50 and 70 AD. And I wonder if in him writing this down, this is what Jesus was talking about, that Holy Spirit will be here with us as a reminder, as a teacher. And what? Who can do the maths? 35 AD on to 50 to 70 AD? What's the maths on that? How many years later are we saying that John wrote? Yeah, somewhere between 15 and 35 years later. John's writing this down and he's remembering as he's writing. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is going to be sent to us. Why? To teach us and remind us. Why teach? Because not everyone was there in the presence of Jesus when he lived on earth. So some people need to be taught. And some people who were there in the first place need to be reminded. The accuracy of the remembrance of Jesus is assured by the presence of the Holy Spirit. First reference then, what did Jesus say was the purpose of the Holy Spirit? To be his representative. They're playing a kind of tag game here. Jesus is leaving, but who? The Holy Spirit is coming. And Jesus goes on in our second reference, the Holy Spirit is there to teach and remind. Third reference, we didn't get this in the scripture reading. I would have been a long time reading the next couple of chapters. So by all means, read it for your homework. But we're going to jump into the next chapter, chapter 15 and verse 26. Reads like this. I'll read it out to you because we didn't read it before. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will, what does your Bible say? Testify. Okay. I know some different translations sometimes use different words and so on. But he will testify about what? About on my behalf. I like that reference. He will testify about me. So what do we get? This is nice and clear, I hope. What do we get in this reference that Jesus is telling his believers? Look, I'm going to go, but the Holy Spirit is going to come, sent by God the Father, and the Holy Spirit is going to teach you and remind you. He's my representative. What is Jesus saying in this verse? He's going to, begins with T, testify. What does testify mean? Give evidence. Okay. Good. We're getting some good answers today. You are all awake. Give evidence. So when it says here, and this is a judicial reference, when the Holy Spirit gives evidence, who is the Holy Spirit giving evidence about?
Jesus.
Jesus isn't, the Holy Spirit isn't here to replace Jesus and say, right, that was Jesus, now here I am. The Holy Spirit always points us to who? To Jesus. So let me ask you, this kind of bridges us into our next reference as well in chapter 16, verses 7 to 11. As you're turning there, let me say to you, when we hear people overemphasizing about the power and presence of the Holy Spirit at the exclusion of Jesus, are we hearing the right words? What does Jesus say the Holy Spirit is sent for? To testify, to teach, to remind us about who? About Jesus. Let's keep that perspective right and pure. So our fourth reference, chapter 16, verses 7 to 11. Maybe I won't read all of it. You can glance through, but I'll start it off. But I tell you the truth. It is not for you. I am going to need to read all of this, so hold on. I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. That was just mind-blowing for them, but let's keep going. It's for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. So there's a kind of repetition of promise, yes? If I go, there's the sermon reference again, going and coming. Jesus needs to go in order for the Holy Spirit to come. Unless I go, the counsel will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Verse 8, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt. Okay, here we've got the references of what the Holy Spirit is going to do. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. What three things do we have listed there? Sin, righteousness, judgment. Does anyone notice a little sequence there? Sin, righteousness, judgment. Sin is something that we have done. That's a sort of past reference. Righteousness has a link to what Jesus is doing for us right now. Does anyone know what Jesus is doing for us right now? Jesus is going where? To our Heavenly Father, to God the Father, to do what? To prepare a place for you, for us. And when he's preparing a place for us, what is he also doing? How does he know that he needs to build a place for you? Because he is our advocate. Because he is our one that's saying, yes, Colin is good enough. He's made that decision. I'm building a place for him. Past sin, present righteousness, what Jesus is doing for us. And future is what? Begins with J? Judgment. But this isn't just about us. So let's keep going with this verse. Let me start again in verse 8. When he comes, he will convict the who? The world. So actually, what is the work of the Holy Spirit by way of conviction? Does he convict believers? Oh, is this difficult? The whole point, and we get this from Paul, that Paul wrote about, for all have sinned and continue to fall short of the glory of God. So we are all sinners. We are all guilty. We're all doomed, but for the work of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit comes here, and there is a work of the Holy Spirit in convicting the world of its guilt. What is the world's guilt? Let's find out. Jesus explains. In regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Verse 9, this is where we get the explanations of those three things, sin, righteousness, and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in who? Jesus. So what is sin, according to Jesus at this point? Sin is when we say Jesus isn't who he is. Keep reading. Because men do not believe in me. Verse 10, in regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Sin, righteousness, judgment. Those people who hate believers in God, who choose to turn away from Jesus, that's who this says the Holy Spirit is here to convict. Not us, not believers, but non-believers. You see, when we are sinners and we come to that point of realizing who Jesus is and what he has done for us, then we are saved sinners. Still constantly in need of our Savior, but we have made a decision to follow after Jesus. The problem really exists not for us anymore, because of what Jesus has done for us and everyone who chooses. The problem exists for those who reject Jesus. No longer is there the availability of righteousness because of their decision. And that leads then onto a judgment in the future. God can't help people who don't say yes to what he has to offer. So there's two sides, but one judgment. The point is, are we going to be a true believer, helped and called and taught and reminded by the Holy Spirit? Or are we going to be a rejecter? I don't want to know about Jesus. Our last reference, just a verse or so away. So chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. Verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. What will the Holy Spirit do according to Jesus at this verse? Guide us into all truth. What's the implication here? Do we have it? Do we know it all yet? Possibly not. Because he will guide. There's still a route to go. Let's keep reading. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. You know, when I read in my Bible, this same author, just a couple of decades later, in the last book that we have in our Bibles, the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, what does it say in verse 1 and in verse 10? Anyone know it off by heart, or as you thumb your way quickly to it? Verse 1, Revelation, same author, John, the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. John was being shown something else, something that he hadn't been told of yet, something that he didn't yet know of. What does verse 10 say? On the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. There was a new hearing. A new hearing. A new vision that John was given. So what, if we go back to John chapter 16, these verses 13 to 15, what is it that Jesus is saying about the Holy Spirit? He will bring any further instruction. About who? About Jesus. Not about anything else. It's always about Jesus. So let me give a recap. As we think of how this fits to our lives. Jesus, in our verses, in this discourse of these chapters, says the Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus himself. An obsession of the Holy Spirit is an unhealthy thing and might even take us away from Jesus. The Holy Spirit can only bring us to Jesus. The Father exalts Jesus, not the Holy Spirit exalts Jesus. That's implied in a previous verse. We didn't really go over that too much. Because Jesus is now at the right hand of God. That was the reference. The Holy Spirit exalts and glorifies Jesus in the esteem of man. The Holy Spirit's purpose catches our attention and draws us to Jesus, not himself. The Holy Spirit is a representative of Jesus on earth. And when we listen to the Holy Spirit, we are listening to Jesus. As we consider more of Jesus' final words and instructions to his followers throughout these chapters in John, may we all bear in mind, not just in coming weeks, maybe you can think about this afternoon, think about this coming week, that power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is available to each one of us and is available when we obey and when we pray. And as we do that, seeking that power and the presence of the Holy Spirit will take us straight to Jesus. My prayer is that your prayer and your obedience will bring you to Jesus too.